So we're turning to the book of Job, chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 25. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. Let me read this again. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. Okay, two things, upon me and unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. Now go with me now to the first chapter of Job. Very first chapter of Job. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camel, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Now, let's go back to chapter 3. We got a picture here of a perfect man that really was seeking and fearing God, feared God. And he had so much wealth. He had so much substance. He had 7 sons, 3 daughters. He had a lot to be watchful of and concerned about. And he did this sacrificial sacrificing on a continual basis. I mean, he did it continually. It was like he just prayed and sacrificed and prayed continually. And why did he do that? Well, it tells you why in this verse 25 of chapter 3. Because it was something that motivated him to do what he did every day, continually, maybe 3 or 4 times a day. Because he was driven with something called fear. He was motivated by being afraid. And what fear will do is it'll make you act a certain way, think a certain way, and you have no rest when you're in fear. You have no peace when you're in fear, and you will just absolutely, it'll motivate you to do all you know to do to fix the problem, to get peace, to get rest, to find something. And so he went out of his way because he didn't want to see anything happen to his children. He didn't want to see anything happen to his stuff. He didn't want to see anything happen to his daughters. He really had fear. He was driven by fear. And a lot of people are fear driven. And there's nothing wrong with being afraid of God as far as reverential fear. But when you get to the point where Job was, look what he said. The thing that which I greatly feared, is come upon me. And that which was I was afraid of is come unto me. Do you understand how magnets work? Magnets draw things to them. Magnets that are positively charged will attract things. It draws it to them. Fear is like that. Fear is like a magnet. It will draw. The thing that you're fearing will be drawn to you by the very fear you're feeling, experiencing. It's like it sends out a signal that out there, it's out there. And what you're fearing is out there. And so what you're experiencing is the fear of what's out there. But what people uncannily do not understand is that fear will absolutely pull out a sign in the spirit realm and say, here I am, I'm afraid of you. Here I am, I'm afraid of sickness. I'm afraid of disease. I live every day thinking I'm going to get cancer. I'm thinking all the time I'm going to do this. Living in fear, I'm going to do this wrong and I'm going to do that wrong. Living in fear is a terrible way to live. But it also sends out a neon light to the thing that you're fearing, and it's attracting, it will attract that thing to you. It will send out a signal. It actually will send out an odor. Do you know animals use odors to sense, to draw each other, mooses and deer, and they lay bait out, and it can attract that thing. I'm telling you, fear is a really bad thing to have. Because it will literally send out a scent or send out a signal into the atmosphere around you. And you see, what we see around us is not all there is. Where there is a world of the spirit realm that you don't see with your natural eyes. But if you're open to the Holy Spirit, He'll show you things around about you. But the most important thing to get an understanding of is this thing called fear. Because God came through the Son, who through His Son named Jesus Christ, He came and delivered us from fear. He delivered us from the power of fear. He delivered us from death. He said He delivered us. He delivered us from it. And I'm going to go through some scriptures here this morning that's going to explain some things that man has misconceived, misunderstood, and just been completely taught wrong. We've been taught wrong because if you're a religious-minded person, you got to get rid of some of that religious thinking of yours. You got to make up your mind, I'm going to be taught correctly. I'm going to hear the Word of God correctly. I'm going to rightly divide the Word of God correctly. Because if you got something out of place, it's going to kind of mess up what God is wanting to teach you on down the road. So you got to get the foundation of your revelation right to begin with. You know, if you're a builder, you know that if you get a block, one block in the beginning out of whack, it's going to mess up the whole building. If you get one thing not in alignment, it's going to mess up the rest of it later on. You know, what I'm trying to say here is that Christians get born again, and the saddest thing to me, and I'm so thankful this did not happen to me. It could have. It almost did. Is that you can get into the wrong church and hear the wrong teaching, and babies will eat anything. A baby Christian is no different than a baby two-year-old or a one-year-old that's crawling around, and it sees something. It doesn't think, well, this could be poison. And a lot of Christians' faith has been poisoned because of religion, because of the wrong teaching. The wrong thinking gets ingrained in them, and they hear it over, 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 and it's completely wrong. And then it becomes a truth to them, and it's not even a truth. So we have to unreligiosize ourselves a little bit. I don't know if that's a word, but that sounds good. That's what I'm trying to make you understand, that but to get the revelation that God has, we've got to throw some stuff out the window. We just got to throw some stuff out. So let me see if I can walk you through this the way the Holy Spirit laid it out to me this morning. I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, this is pretty complicated teaching here. I said, I don't know if I'm qualified. And He said, oh, you got it. You got the revelation. I got this revelation. If I got a revelation, I can share it. You can't share something you don't have. But I have a revelation in my spirit man about this, okay? So let's look now at the book of, actually don't even have this scripture written down, but it just came to me. It's in Peter. Let me see if it's 1st or 2nd Peter. Let's go to the book of Peter. Everybody got those scriptures down there? Because you need to look at these again at some point. We're going to Peter. It's in 2nd Peter, chapter 1, verse 2. I always get those mixed up. Sometimes I think it's this 1 Peter, 2 Peter. I know it's chapter 1. But it's 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. This is one of those verses that just kind of anchors inside you. It gets deep in you. The more I meditated on this verse, the deeper and more just an anchor thing started happening in me. And the Holy Spirit began to use this verse to teach me early on as a baby Christian. And this is a fact. This is a fact. Grace and peace, you could almost say is multiplied instead of the word be, but it says grace and peace be multiplied. And it's like be multiplied. Be multiplied, grace and peace. Who would not want more grace and peace in their life? Who does not need more grace and more peace? Everybody does, right? So he says here, Peter's starting out his salutation to the people, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. That's a fact. The more, if you're determined to get more grace and you're determined to get more peace, you're going to have to get it through one way. And it's through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. That's how grace comes. That's how peace comes, through knowledge. Knowledge is everything. Having the right kind of knowledge is everything to living in peace and victory. It's everything. It's just everything. And that grace there is not God's unmerited favor that brought you to Jesus, which is part of it. But the grace that he's talking about here is the ability of God to jump every hurdle, to deliver you from every high thing. The grace of God is sufficient for you in every situation of life. There'll never be a problem in your life that the grace of God isn't powerful enough and big enough to help you deal with it. To help you. It's about helping you. God showed me this years ago. He said, You know what, Teresa? There's no sin in heaven. There is no evil in heaven. There is no devil in heaven. He's kicked out. But there is a devil where you are, and that's why you need the grace. That's why you need the peace, because you got an enemy on your territory around you. He's not on my territory, but he's here on the earth. So God says, He's got a perfect environment. I'm the one who needs all the grace and all the peace to live out my life here. And a lot of people, sad to say, live out their whole life in fear. They live out their whole entire life afraid of something. And I'm going to tell you, the greatest perfecting way to live, the most mature believer way to live, is to be free of all fear, to live in. There's only one way that grace is going to be multiplied in your life. Only one way. And you might think, oh, it's just God's just going to dump it on me. It's going to come through knowledge, and he can do that. But it's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. The Word of God, the Word of God is what brings us the knowledge, God's Word. Rightly divided, that is. If you go to some churches and you sit very long, you're going to walk out of there troubled. You're going to walk out of there upset. You're going to walk out of there more fear than you had when you walked in. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You ever been in services where you feel like somebody just stripped you and beat you with a stick? And beat up by a preacher many times. Lord, I went there to get edified. I went there to learn how to overcome sin. Not tell me what old sinner I am. Because I'm not a sinner. I'm a saint. Let's get it right. I used to be a sinner, and then you could beat me with a stick justifiably. But I'm not a sinner anymore. And I'm a baby Christian trying to learn how to walk in this grace and peace. And I'll tell you where I got most of my revelation. I'll tell you right here and now, most of my revelation came by on my old knee bones. I got through something called neology. I have a degree in neology. Whoa, glory to God. Everybody needs to get a degree in neology. Because I began to seek God for me. And hear from God for me, because I'm going to some little country churches and bless their little country hearts, but they didn't know nothing. They was trying to kill me, trying to make me sick, trying to make me crazy. But I got a hold of this verse right here. The Lord said, you want the grace? You want the peace? It's going to come through the knowledge, revelation knowledge. Hallelujah. So everybody talks about Job. Everybody talks about Job. Oh, yeah, I understand Job. I understand Job. I certainly do. Better than most people understand Job, because I used to be Job. I used to, that first year of my Christian walk I was Sister Job. Everybody called me Sister Job. The Lord, let's love you. I'm thinking, he does? This is love? This is love? I'm telling you, I was taught that. You know, God must love you, because boy, you must really be going to do something for God. He must love you, because God's really putting it on you. Making me think God put all this on me. And it was just, I wasn't really sure I wanted to serve a God that I had life better as a sinner than before I came to God. If God is going to do this stuff to me, I think I'll go back out and have a little fun before I leave this world. It was just crazy. Crazy teaching. And I really didn't know what to believe until I got a hold of the Word of God for me. And got fasting and praying and seeking God for me. And I had to get a heart revelation. A head revelation will just take you down the road very far. But a heart revelation will take you through anything. So going back to Job. Let me go back to Job. I want to go to Job chapter 10. And verse 12. Now we know that Job went through a major attack of the devil. Major attack. And this is what he says. This is what he says afterwards. I just think this is interesting. This is coming from a man who is covered in boils, who's lost everything. The thing that he feared has come upon him. Yes, it did. And it says that, you know, he says this. He said, "Thou hast granted me life and favor." He's talking to God. "You've granted me life and favor, and thy visitation hath preserved my spirit." Yep. Yeah, he had a spirit. Man is a spirit. You know, all the other animals and all the other creatures do not have a spirit. We are unique creatures that God created in that we have a spirit. And God is a spirit. And that gives us the ability to talk to God, who is also a spirit. Spirits communicate with other spirits, you understand. I have had cats that I wanted to talk to and have fellowship with, and I can't. As hard as I've tried, there's just limits there. I'm not a cat. I don't talk cat language. I'm not a cow, can't talk to a cat, but I'll guarantee a cow understands another cow. A cat understands another cat. Dogs and cats don't communicate real well. Cats go meow, dogs go bark or woof, but they've studied these animals and they have a line of communication among themselves because they're the same class, they're of the same species. Okay? And the same is true of God. God created man in his class and in his same type of species, so to speak, so that we could have fellowship with him on a level that we've never experienced before. Because God wants you to talk to him. He wants to talk to you. But he cannot talk to you if you don't talk to him the way you are supposed to talk to him, through the Spirit. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's in St. John chapter 4. So we know that God is a spirit, and man was created in his likeness and in his image. And Job said these words here, even after all the stuff happened to his flesh and the things around him. He says, "You've granted me life and favor, and thy visitation hath preserved my spirit." So that tells me Job's got his thinking right. Job has got his priorities right, because Job was all worried about his stuff and his kids, and he feared greatly this whole thing. But all of a sudden, he realizes there's a spirit side to this picture. There's something about the spirit. I think that the things I went through in my years, early years as a Christian, came to grips with the fact that really, the bottom line is my spirit. My spirit man, my revelation, part of me, the part that talks to God, the part of me that communes with God, the part that God talks to me through. God does not talk to my head. God talks to my spirit. God never talked to your head. God can only talk to your spirit. He talks to you through your human spirit, because God is a spirit. Cats talk to cats. Horses talk to horses. Spirits talk to spirits. That's the best way I can explain it. So his revelation here is that, oh, you know, you've granted me life and favor. And your visitation is a spiritual visitation. God always visits you on his level. We want God to come and do it our way. God will never do it our way. He does it his way, which is through revelation spiritually. And these things, verse 13, and these things thou hast hid in thine heart, I know that this is with thee. If I sin, then thou markest me, and thou wilt not acquit me from mine iniquity. If I be wicked, woe unto me, and if I be righteous, yet will I not lift up my head. I am full of confusion. Therefore, see thou mine affliction. This is a man who has very little revelation. But he is on to something. He's really, really on to something here. Now let's look at chapter 9. Verse 32, chapter 9 says, for he is not a man, talking about the Lord, talking about God, Almighty God. He's not a man, as I am, that I should answer him, like we're talking people to people, communicating as a man, that we should come together in judgment. And remember, this is before Jesus. This is before Jesus Christ came to the earth as a man, right? God as a man. This is all before Jesus. So there was no man. God wasn't in man form yet. God was a spirit in heaven. And he says, he's not a man, that I am, as I am, that I should answer him. You see, God saw the need for there to be a man that a man could talk to. There needed to be somebody on God's level and on man's level. And then what he says here, he's not a man that I am, as I am, that I should answer him, and we should come together in judgment. Neither is there any days man betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both. That was the heart cry of every single man of the old covenant. That was the heart cry of every single human being under the old covenant. God, I need to be able to come into judgment with you. I need somebody who can be an arbitrator between me and you. I need somebody who can stand in the gap for me, because I don't understand you, and I don't understand this life that I'm in. How do I get revelation? How do I get understanding? Oh, but if there was just somebody. Here's the cry. Here's the cry of Job. He's laying there in boils. He's in pain. He's suffering. If there was just somebody that would plead my case, somebody who would intercede for me, somebody who would care about me and talk to you and communicate between us, who could lay their hand on you and then lay their hand on me, and stand in the gap and get this thing sorted out, whatever's going on. What have I done wrong? What's happening? What's going on? They were trying to figure it out. Man, at his best, couldn't figure it out. So that's the heart cry of every single saint in the old covenant. Everybody. And remember, Job was perfect. He was a perfect man. But his heart cry was still, God, we got to have somebody who can be a mediator. A mediator. And see, God knew that. God knew that. Let's go now to the New Testament. And let's look at how God... Actually, I want to go to Romans. Romans chapter 8. No, I'm sorry. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. We're going to stay in Romans for a minute. Romans chapter 3. And I want to go to verse 22 through 25. Remember, I'm teaching. With the help of God. Believe me, with the help of God. Romans 3, verse 22. Now, I've painted a real clear picture, I think, of what life was like under the Old Testament. People walked around in fear. They were afraid. They were like magnets drawing things. And it still works today. That still works today, by the way. It hasn't gone away. It still is happening in the earth today. So I painted a clear picture of what life is before Jesus. That's what life was like before Jesus, okay? But thank God he sent Jesus to be the arbitrator, to be the son, to be his son, a man, to be a man, and to be made in the form of a man, born of a woman. You know, he was tempted in every single thing like we are, yet without sin. He understands our weaknesses. He understands us completely because he's a man. But he's also all God, so he has complete understanding of God that we don't have. He has full, complete understanding of what heaven, how it operates, how it all works, how all it functions, all the ins and outs. Jesus knows all about heaven and that realm. But he also knows all about us because he is us. He is God, all God, but he's all us too. Isn't that good to know? Woo! Glory to God. That just makes me want to shout right here.
Hallelujah.
Glory. That's how I can trust him. I can so trust him because he paid the price to get that quality, to get qualified there. He paid a price to get that. That didn't come easy for him to get to that point to where he could be all God and all man, to be my mediator, to be my day's man. It took a price. He had to pay the price to get that honorable title. Okay, so Romans chapter 3, verse 22. Let's look at it. It says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. Now, before I move any further at all, I'm going to challenge everybody to do a study on the word righteousness. Because that is the key. If you ever had a set of keys, remember Jesus told the disciples, he said, who do men say that I am? And Peter said, you're the Savior. You're the Son of the living God. He said, Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father which is in heaven revealed that to you. And he said, you're a little stone, but upon this kind of rock, this revelation you just got a hold of, it come out of your mouth, I'm going to build my church on that kind of revelation. And I'm going to tell you what, the gates of hell can't do a thing with it. Not when you get it. Not when you really get that revelation. The devil and everything he's got, the gates of hell represents all that devil can throw at you, all that he can assault you with, all that he has power in. That's what the gates of hell represents. And Jesus said, if you get a revelation of who I am, really am, that's a rock that you can't deal, the devil can't do nothing with that, as long as you stay on that revelation. And then he goes on, he says, and I'll give you keys to the kingdom. And whatever you bind shall be bound. And whatever you loose will be loose. And what he really was saying, whatever you call to be unlocked, if it's already unlocked in heaven, it'll be unlocked on earth. If it's already unlocked in the heavenlies where I reside, that will be unlocked on earth. The prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, will literally be in your hands as a set of keys are in your hands. You have to get this by revelation. So, you got a keys. I got keys to the kingdom of God. Remember, God doesn't have any problems in heaven. Every good thing's open up there. But we got situations here that need to be dealt with. And if we don't have the right keys to open the right doors, they're going to stay shut. Did you ever have a door lock that you don't have a key to get into? Nothing more frustrating than not be able to find your door key. You're locked out of your own apartment or your own house. Can't find the key. Well, I can tear the door down. Well, that's not a good thing. But there's keys to the kingdom of God. And the most important key that God ever gave me revelation was this key called righteousness. Just imagine there's a key of revelation called righteousness. And the devil does not want you to know that you are made righteous. I use that key a lot in my ministry and in my life. And I have for years. It's a key. It's a key I possess. I have a key called righteousness. I have many keys in the kingdom of God. But you've got to get these keys yourself. I can't give them to you. They come by revelation knowledge. Remember grace and peace through the knowledge? It comes through knowledge. I got keys to the kingdom of God to unlock things and open up things and to shut things. If there's something going on in your life that it shouldn't be, and it wouldn't, if you were in heaven right now and it wouldn't be going on in heaven, do you know you can shut that thing up, lock it up with a key? There is a key. Keys. Jesus said, I'll give you keys. That's in Matthew chapter 16. So even the righteous, let's read this verse again. I can't, every time I see the word righteousness, I literally, in my spirit, I leap with joy every time I read the word of God and I hear the word righteousness. Because there was a day and time in my life that I had a completely skewed view of what righteousness really was. I mean, God had to help me understand what righteousness really was in the way he sees it. The way he looks at it. The way heaven sees righteousness is not the way man has taught me or may most people think. But, you know, people will look at you and I as Christians and really make fun of us because we think we're somebody. Well, listen, let me tell you what, I am somebody. I've been bought with a price. The precious blood of Jesus paid for me. And there's not a higher premium. There was not a higher premium on earth that could have been paid. You could stack up 10 $1 billion worth of gold in a corner, and you can't touch the price of the blood of Jesus. That's what I was bought with. I was paid for. I'm paid for. I don't belong to nobody but Him. I belong to God, and I'm His. I'm completely His. So, verse 22 says, so even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. Here's the key that Job didn't have. Here's the key. Job did not have to deal with his circumstances. He did not have a dazed man. He didn't have faith because he couldn't have faith because Jesus hadn't come yet. But there's something called righteousness that gives you a boldness with God, a place in His presence. See, that's what Jesus did for the body of Christ. That's what He did to the Christian. Now, you have to understand, in the Old Covenant, there was no such thing as a Christian. You cannot find even the word in the Old Covenant. It didn't exist. There was no Christians in the Old Covenant. Christians didn't exist until people got born again. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus when you got born again. And that couldn't happen until Jesus died on the cross, went to hell, stripped the devil of all his keys. Said, I got the keys to death, hell, and the grave. He stripped the devil of all his power, all the keys that he had. Now Jesus got all the keys in heaven, earth, and hell. And so when you understand how the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus, you can't make it any clearer. You got faith in Jesus and you got righteousness of God. You got faith in Jesus, you got the faith of Jesus. Let me read these three verses here. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and up on all them that believe. The word all means all. It really does. Anybody, anywhere, if you have faith in Jesus, you've got righteousness of God. It's like you've got a big old, you've been made the righteousness of God. It happens to you when you get born again. God literally makes you, He imparts to you, He recreated your spirit to be as righteous as Jesus is. He literally recreated your human spirit to be actually equal in that, in righteousness. It's not like you're trying to get righteous. You are made righteous. It's a form. You just took on a new form. You took on His righteousness. He became sin that you could be made righteous. Literally, you are made the righteousness of God. And there's no difference. There's no difference for all have sinned, verse 23, and come short of the glory of God. Whether you're a Jew, whether you were Job, whether you were Abraham, we all needed this transforming experience. You know, Jesus even had to go to Sheol, which is the holding place of the old covenant saints, and got them all born again, preached the gospel, got them all born again, and brought them out so they could be made righteous too. Isn't that awesome to think about? So all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. See, He redeemed us. He redeemed us from the curse. He redeemed us from sin. He made us righteous. Whom God had set forth to be the propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. This is a great mystery, and an awful lot of Christians do not have a revelation. They don't have this key. They don't really have this key yet. And it is a hindrance because it really unlocks a lot of things. It is a powerful force in your life through prayer. It really is. So let's now go to Romans chapter 8. Verse 29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now this is talking about you and me. I'm going to bring many sons into glory. I'm going to bring them in. because I'm going to predestinate this thing's going to happen at a certain time, at a certain place in Jerusalem in the year that Jesus was born. He was born of a virgin. This thing was planned and prophesied for thousands of years. That's what predestination's talking about. He's talking about someday there's coming a race, a new race of people that have never lived on the planet, that because my son is going to be obedient and completely willing to the plan of salvation and shed his blood, which is precious blood, that can redeem the human race, that will believe in him, and that I can give them the total righteousness of the Son of God. And you make you a son of God. I'm a son of God. I'm a joint heir with Christ. Joint heir means you own everything he owns. It doesn't mean I own a little bit he give me. I'm on a piece of property, and you're a joint heir on that property. That means you own it equally, doesn't it? But he foreknew what he was going to do. He foreknew the body of Christ was coming into the earth. That's why the body of Christ is so precious to God. The precious fruit of the earth. We are precious to God. Jesus being the firstborn. Come boldly to God. Man, you can be bold with God. You can plead your case with God. You can talk to God just like Jesus talking to God. Jesus is your days man. Jesus is your advocate. Jesus is your intercessor. He's already laid his hand on you and on me. And we can be bold with God. In Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 10. Everybody got paper and pen? I hope it's writing these scriptures down. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10 said, "For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory." See, a lot of people do not believe that they're going to be in going into the glory until they die. I don't need the glory then. I need the glory now. I need now. Now's when I need to speak to a cancer. Now's when I need to speak to a pain. Now's when I need to cast out a devil. Now's when I need to have victory. Now's when I need to walk in some peace and rest. Grace and peace is multiplied through the knowledge how to walk in the kingdom, how to operate in the kingdom of God. That's where it all is. Keys to the kingdom, righteousness, joy, peace. That's what it's all about. No more fear. No more fear. Look what it says here. "For it became him for whom are all things." See, you got to see Jesus as having filled up every single speck of particle, every single molecule that ever is in every universe, whether it be in the universe of the stratosphere, atmosphere. Jesus occupies all of it. Jesus is king of every molecule, every atom, of every star, of every universe. Jesus fills everything. He fills everything. He fills all of hell. You know, he fills everything. My king is everything. He's big. He is the conquering king. He's the king of kings and lord of lords for a reason. So how can you have a Molly Grub day knowing that? How? How can you feel defeated, whipped, and beat down when you got all that going on in your life? For you. He did this for me. Yes. "For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things." We just got to believe the word of God. I believe what it says here. I believe God. And I tell him about it too. I said, "God, I believe you. That it shall be even as it was told me." I marvel at Paul in that shipwreck. Have you ever just studied the book of Acts? Book chapter 26, 27, the book of Acts. Just go there with Paul sometime. Be in Paul's feet, shoes, and clothes. Be Paul for a minute. And just be there in a pitch black storm where there was no stars or sun for many days. No stars or sun for many days. They fasted 14 days. And he said, "I believe God, brethren. It's going to be okay." They've already thrown everything overboard. They're ready to die. They're hanging on. The ship's getting ready to break. I believe God. It's going to be okay. He had a revelation, didn't he? See, we got to get a revelation. And he says, "It became him from all things, or by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren." That's me. That's you. That's us. That's the body of Christ right here. We're the many, we're part of the many sons. You're part of a big body of Christ. There's a lot of believers. And the sad thing is, many will live out their days and enjoy heaven one day, but they won't enjoy their benefits while they're here. They won't enjoy the glory here. I mean, that's the other, they'll get what they're believing for, really. They'll get just what they can see. And what saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. There it is. There's the church. There's the church. It's not in the old covenant because there was no church. Jesus hadn't come yet. I could say I'm 100% sure Job was one of those that was taken out of Abraham's bosom when Jesus went down there to preach. Well, you reckon he was waiting in line. He couldn't wait. And verse 13 said, again, I will put my trust in him. And behold, I and the children which God hath given me. Whereasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them, that's me and you, deliver us who through fear of death. Do you know the root of all fear is the fear of death? All fear has its root in death. Fear of death. Death is the root. Death is the root. I mean, there's all these other fears, but even jealousy has a root in fear. And jealousy, envy, strife, all that stuff has a root in fear. People are afraid they're going to lose something. They're afraid that you're going to get more than them. Covetousness, all those things have a root in the fear of death. For verily he took on him not the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to secure them that are tempted. That is just wonderful. That is wonderful. Look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. Now, if there was any doubt that you're not righteous, I want you to get this verse. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. It's 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. See, Jesus came out of heaven. He said, what do you think? What are you going to think when you see the Son of Man come out, go back up into heaven where he came out of? He came out of heaven. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Okay, we all can agree with that, right? That Jesus was made sin, who knew no sin. Well, how come we can't seem to get the other part of that verse? He did that for a reason. He didn't do it for his benefit. He did it for us benefit because we needed to be made righteous. My righteous stand with God is a spiritual stand. It's a revelation stand. It's a truth. It's a revelation truth that I don't have to figure out. It's just, well, I accept it. I accept that I've been made the righteousness of God in him. So when I don't feel very righteous, it's not based on what I feel. I haven't been feeling very righteous lately. But it's not a feeling I go by. It's by faith. Remember the verse I shared in chapter 3 of Romans? Chapter 3 of Romans. It's a powerful verse. Righteousness, which is by faith in Christ Jesus, our God, our Savior. Who? Hallelujah. You got to get that. Nobody can really teach you this. You can hear it, but you have to get a revelation of this. Righteousness is a key. Just remember, it's a powerful key to your prayers getting answered too. It's a powerful key. You know, for as much as you know, that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your father. Verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope should be in God. Verse 22, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another fervently, with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You see, Job did not have the ability to live by the word of God, because the word of God had not come in the flesh yet. The word of God had not become a man yet. The word of God hadn't been revealed yet on a spiritual level. Your spirit could not have received it. And let me say this, is the best way I can relate to you what I have a revelation of, is that I don't care what problem you have, you've got to get a word on it. You've got to get a revelation word of God on it. This is a key. This is another key to the kingdom. If you know you've been made the righteousness, you've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, and you've got a situation you're facing, I'm going to tell you what, the word of God will take care of every situation. It's the word of God that delivers you from every problem. It's always going to be the word of God, because the word of God is God. The word of God is Jesus, but it's the revelation of the word that delivers. It's not just head knowledge, it's the revelation of the word. Because you can know this. When he says, you know, well, it's not talking about a head knowing. It's talking about a revelation of the heart. I know that I've been redeemed. I know that I'm always more than conqueror. I know that I have the victory secured. I know it was already done. When was I healed? I was healed 2,000 years ago. I'm not trying to get God to heal me. It's an undone thing 2,000 years ago when he raised from the dead. It was delivered to me, but I got to take a hold of it and believe it, just like I have to believe for salvation. When was I healed? I was healed back there. When was that? God's not going to come down and do nothing else. It's already been done. I have to accept it, believe it, and receive it as mine. Because I know. You can know. You can know. You can know it's yours. Isn't that good? I'm not trying to get God to come down and do nothing else for me. He's already done it. You just find a word. Get a word. Get a word in your heart. Get a word in your mouth. It's in thee, even in the heart and in thy mouth. That if thou shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Whatever you need to be saved from. So get a word on it. Get a word in your mouth on it. Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith. You're the one that's got to believe what you're saying is true. You're the one that's got to get the word in you. He said, this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those that I'll write my word in your heart, and I'll place it in your mind, and I will be to you a God, and you'll be to me a people. That's how we become sons. That's how we become mature. You speak to these things, and I'm going to tell you what I believe. And I've studied after a lot of great men of God. And I believe it for my own self now. That if I don't get in there and get this, it ain't going to happen. It's coming time where people are going to die prematurely because they do not know how to deal with the devil. They want somebody else to heal them. They want somebody else to deliver them. They want somebody else to get their victory. When they have got the word of God in their lap every day, in the word, every day, just like I do, and they don't grow up and deliver themselves. Because it's already been delivered. Does that make sense?
Yes.
We got to get a revelation of our own. You can't go back. Remember the virgins? 10 virgins, 5 had run out of oil, and they wanted to share. You can't share this oil. You got to get your own oil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is this good? Now you walk away, hopefully, from a message like this, a teaching like this, that came from God, and you feel inspired, you feel challenged, you feel encouraged. Hey, I can do this. God said I can. If God said I can live in victory, I can. Thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph.
Yes.
Do you know that's a truth? Do y'all know that's a truth? It's a truth. Father, I just seal this word today. Lord, I bless your people. I bless God. You said that we are the head and we're not the tail. We're above and not beneath. And everything we put our hands to, it prospers. I say, Lord, that everything they put their hand to, it's going to prosper. The revelation comes to us. Revelation comes to us. Now, thanks be unto God who always causeth the triumph in Christ. I thank you, Lord, that we have been made more than conquerors. I thank you, Lord, that we are overcomers. I thank you, Jesus, that you overcome and we're overcomers. Lord, I just thank you, God, that revelation comes. Faith comes from hearing and hearing by the word of God. Lord, I ask you to bless your people today. Bless us, God. We need you. We need you so much. Lord, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. He said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. They shall.